Let's open up to God's Word this morning, and there is power in His Word. And so, Lord, we pray that Your Word would prove powerful in our lives today, that Your Proverbs would knock sense into our minds, and that Your Holy Spirit would work them into our hearts. Give me the right words to say in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about our words, you know, a word on words. Really, it's our speech, you know, how we say it, what we say. Who knows this saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, right? We say that on the playground as kids, and we're trying to say, you know, you can't hurt me with your words. We try to act all strong, but like that's the biggest lie out there, right? Like whoever came up with that, I don't even know who that originated with, but it's a lie. It's a complete lie. And this morning, overall, I want you to know that words are powerful. You know, words are powerful. You know, when we say, I speak Jesus over that there's power in speaking Jesus' name. There is power in our words. And this morning, I just want to challenge you, how are you going to use your words? Each day, each moment of the day, each time your mouth opens, you have an opportunity to use your mouth for good or for evil, to speak life or to speak death, to heal or to hurt. So how are you going to use your words today? And the first thing we're going to see in Proverbs is maybe a really good one to memorize. I love this, Proverbs 18:21. I put it as a memory verse this week. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So the first point there is, you know, there's two powerful aspects that we can use with our words. There's death in the tongue, and there's life, okay? What it's saying there is great power in your words. And notice, you know, God uses these extremes to show how powerful they are. He doesn't say, you know, there's a little bit of good that you can do with your tongue and a little bit of evil. He's like death and life. In fact, a lot of the Proverbs that talk about the power of the tongue are going to use extremes, right? It talks about he who destroys his neighbor with his tongue, right? Like destroy, like it's using these powerful words just to make us understand. Like sometimes we excuse this, like someone gets mad about something we said or some way we said it and you're like, hey, it's not that big a deal. I just said this, this, and this. No, we need to understand every time we open our mouth, there is power, and we can do great good or great evil. And so just the first thing I want you to see is that our words are powerful and can harm or heal. And so there's a famous quote from Uncle Ben, right? With great power comes great responsibility, right? So there's great power in our tongues. And notice the second half of that verse. It says, those who love it will eat its fruits. And there's different ideas about what that means, but I think what it's saying there is those who know its power, those who love it, will really use it to the fullest, right? And we can do that both ways, right? Some people know the power of the tongue, and they murder with the tongue. And then there's those who know the power of the tongue, and they heal. They bring life. And so just remember that you can use it for evil or you can use it for good. You can heal or you can hurt. And so just a couple of Proverbs that talk about the healing power of the tongue. Proverbs 12:25, it says, I love this. It says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. And who's been there? Like, I've been down sometimes, right? You've been there. Maybe anxiety or just life. Sometimes you're depressed and you just don't see any light, right? It's like a big fog has come over you. It says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. But then it says, a good word makes him glad. A good word makes him glad. And it's like that fog that gathered over, you just can't see and you don't feel like doing anything. And the good word is like that breeze that just blows away the fog and you see the sunshine again. Right? It's like when we're in the middle of winter and inversion is set in and it's like the freezing rain and it's just like, man, is there any hope left? And even if you're in a good mood, you're suddenly just down and then just a good wind will blow it out and we can see the sun again. Like that's what he's saying. Like there's power in a word. And I know you've felt that. I've felt that so many times when there's someone who says this powerful word, it's a healing word, it's a good word, and it just lifts me up. You know, I was thinking as I was studying this, just the fact that I'm pastoring today is because of words that were shared with me, right? There's people that have shared with me when I'm down that lifted me up. People that saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. You know, the encouraging words that brought me to where I am today. We wouldn't be where we are without words from others shared, spoken into our lives. That good word shared at the right time that lifted us up. Okay, so who today needs to be lifted up? You know, who needs to have that right word? You know, there's another proverb, I didn't put it in there, but someone who's down and you just go and sing a cheerful song, that can be like, you know, really bad. So there's a lot of thought and a lot of prayer that goes into it. But when you see someone, there's a power that you can bring to them just by saying a good word. Proverbs 10, 20, and 21 says, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. It's saying it's very valuable. It can be very worthwhile. But the heart of the wicked is of little worth. And then verse 21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. Right? Isn't that awesome? That they feed many. And the point is, like, there's so many people that are hungry. They're hungry for affirmation. They're hungry for encouragement. They're hungry for actually rebuke, right? They need that. And the good word, the right word at the right time can feed exactly what they need. And that's what the good, the righteous do, is they feed others with their words. Who needs to be fed this morning? Who is hungry for the right word at the right time? Proverbs 14, 25 says, a truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. Like, he literally says that you can save a life. And there's many different ways that can be taken. Like, we can save lives figuratively, spiritually. You can literally, physically save someone's life, right? There's someone that might be so down that they're just like, why is life even worth living? And what could lift them up? A word, right? Words have great power, and we can use them for great good. And then look at these. There's a lot of evil that we can do with our tongues as well. It says, the wise of heart, Proverbs 10:8, will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Okay? So I'm going to go on a list of just a bunch of Proverbs. And if for no other reason, they can harm you, right? The one who's speaking, okay? The focus, what we're going to talk about, is how you can use words for good and not for evil for others. But like, if nothing else, your tongue can get you in a lot of evil, a lot of harm, right? Have you ever said something and you're like, I wish I didn't say that. It got me into a lot of mess, right? And so look at all these Proverbs that talk about just how our tongues can really get us in a lot of trouble. So that one talked about a babbling fool will come to ruin, right? Just this babbling, they just say whatever is on their mind. They're going to get to a point where they pay for it. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. Right, look at the end of each of these. Yeah, they're going to be cut off. There's a painful end with those who use their tongues for evil. Proverbs 12:13, an evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. Right? Your words are going to trap you if you don't use them well. But the righteous escapes from trouble. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. A fool's lip, listen to this one. Proverbs 18, 6 and 7, a fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Right? Like the fool that comes home with the busted up lip, it probably started with a word, right? You said something you shouldn't have said. You said it a way you shouldn't have said. And you want to feel sorry for this person, but like, what caused it? They didn't control their lips. They didn't control their words. And then finally, Proverbs 19:5, a false witness will not go unpunished. He who breathes out lies will not escape. And so for no other reason, just you don't like pain, right? I don't want to say the wrong thing because I don't want pain. But even more than that, like, man, our words can cause so much evil to others. We can hurt others with our words. Just a few of them. It says with his mouth, Proverbs 11:9, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered. We can destroy one another. And that word is like completely destroy. It's destructive. It kills. Our words can kill. Proverbs 16:27, it says, a worthless man plots evil and his speech is like scorching fire. Think about like speech, like scorching fire. He uses these vivid pictures just to let us know this is what your words can do. If you've ever driven up in the mountains, you know, you see these beautiful woods, right? And then all of a sudden you see that line, right? Where a fire came through. And it shows the destructive power of a fire. And I think James had that on his mind when he said, and he had this proverb, that scorching fire on his mind in Proverbs 3 when he says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire of world, a world of unrighteousness. Tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, set on fire, the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. So we need to think like there's power to destroy somebody, to kill them, to completely undo them. There's power to just breathe out scorching fire. And you've probably felt that before, right? When someone said something to you that, man, it just killed you, right? Words can kill. And there's a lot of different ways we do that. We're just going to look at a few of different ways. You know, sometimes it's a hateful word that just feels like a knife wound, right? Sometimes it's a lie. It's just like feels like the worst betrayal when someone lies to your face. Sometimes it's a secret that you shared with somebody. You shared something, hey, please don't say it. And then they spread it, and it just feels like they did the worst thing they could do to you. They spread something shared in confidence. Sometimes it's rash words spoken carelessly. You speak what's on your mind, and you pay for it, and they are hurt by them. Sometimes it's even in the form of flattery. Okay, we'll look at that one last. So look at examples of slander and gossip. Proverbs 11:13 says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. So I want you to think, like, how am I using my words for evil to speak death to somebody, not life? And as we look at each one of those things, think about, like, is that something I did this past week? And is this something I'm going to be tempted to do this coming week? Is there somebody that's sharing something and you have taken it in confidence and you're going to reveal it? Man, that hurts. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. You know, last time we talked about conflict, and all these things are interrelated. A lot of conflict happens. Friendships are separated because of things called words. Our words can ruin relationships. Proverbs 20:19 says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a simple babbler. Rash words, these are unfiltered, careless spoken words in the moment, right? You just say it and it's out there, right? In fact, sometimes people are proud of that, right? They're like, hey, I'm someone who just speaks my mind. You know, it's unfiltered, you just get it. And they're proud of, like, this is a good thing. Well, look at what God's word says about that. It says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You know, you felt that, you've done it, right? Those rash words, you feel like it and just say it, what's on your mind. Maybe it's an angry word, a harsh word. You just say what you want to say. And the tough thing is once it's out, you can't take it back, right? Once you say it, that's a sword thrust into somebody's side. And so I want you to think about these things. Like when you're about to speak, one of the things we're going to see is that you need to think before you speak. Think, hey, I could stab someone. Do I really want to stab somebody? I mean, I could set this whole forest on fire right now. Do I really want to set this forest on fire? Sometimes it's lies. Sometimes it's deceit. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. And listen to this. Proverbs 26:18-19, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbors and says, I'm only joking. Hey, I'm only joking. You know, I lied to you, but hey, it was just a joke. Okay, you say that, and does that make it right? Because I have this arrow in my side, you know, like firebrand arrows, and then the last thing, I have death. Like, how do you throw death? Like, that's what he's saying. When you say, like, it's just a joke, hey, why are you taking it such a big deal? Well, you just threw death at me. That's why it's a big deal. You just threw a flaming arrow at me. So our words can kill. Lies and deceit kill relationships. And look at this one. Sometimes it's flattery. Flattery is telling something kind but untrue, or saying it just to get something from somebody else, right? We use flattery all the time, and look what Proverbs says about it. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. And then Proverbs 28:23 says, whoever rebukes a man will afterwards find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. You know, sometimes we want to say something nice, but it's not true. But what it says there in that one, in the end, who's the person that really loves you? Who's the person that really has your good in mind? Who tells you what you need to hear? Who tells you what's true? In the moment, like, man, I love to be flattered. But when I find out you didn't really mean it, or you just meant it to get something from me, that's like a betrayal, right? I'd rather you just tell me the truth. I'd rather you rebuke me, it says, than flatter me. And in the end, that's what really will help us. What happens with flattery is we're saying something that's dishonest. Our hearts say one thing, but our words say another. And that's what Proverbs 26:23-26 really points out. It says, like the glaze covering an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Right? Flattery, when we say something dishonest, we hate them, but we try to be kind to them. It says in the end, they're going to figure it out. And it's going to hurt really bad when it's exposed, both for them and for you. Like, how have you used your words? How have you been hateful with your words? How have you been deceptive with your words? Each way just is some way that we speak death into relationships. And so be careful. That's really the point of this all, is be careful, right? It's kind of like we're holding a stick of dynamite, right? Dynamite's powerful, right? That's what Proverbs says, is there's power in the word. And someone who's careless with their words, they're going to hurt themselves. They're going to hurt others. But dynamite can be really good, right? If you've gone through the mountains, like there's times where the road goes through a mountain, it's because dynamite blew that away, right? Dynamite can be very powerful when used the right way. But whenever you're holding dynamite, you got to be careful with it. And so I'm going to give us a few different lessons from the Proverbs and how we can be careful with our words, okay? So the idea is don't just speak what you want to speak. Every time you're about to speak, be careful, because you have both power of life and power of death in what you're about to say. And so the first way you can be careful is less is often more, okay? Less is often more. You know, maybe you're someone who just like, you just like a fire hose, right? You just speak, speak, speak. And listen to what Proverbs 10:19 says. It says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Right? And it's not saying just because you talk a lot that you're sinning a lot, but what it's saying is someone who doesn't restrain, doesn't hold back, they just speak, 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 speak. There's a good chance if you just speak, you're going to speak something hurtful, something harmful. So really be careful. Like maybe I should be thoughtful and careful with my words. Less is often more. I love this in Ecclesiastes 5:2-3. And this is when we relate to God. It says, be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business and a fool's voice with many words. Right? Let your words be few. And it's interesting, in the end, when you are selective with your words, they become more powerful, right? Someone who doesn't speak much, when they speak, man, you listen, right? Someone's always speaking, you don't listen as much. So I love that. It says, therefore, let your words be few. So maybe we should be more thoughtful and more careful. Less is often more. And next lesson is, maybe there's a time when you shouldn't say anything, right? and know when to speak and when to be silent. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. And when he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent, right? We've known that, right? You're like, if you don't say anything, at least they won't know you're a fool, right? And the point is not to be a fool, but really be thoughtful with your words, because fools are never thoughtful with their words. So there's a time when maybe I shouldn't say anything. That's what Proverbs 21:23 says. It says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue, that means holds back, doesn't do what he wants to do, say what he wants to say. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble, right? So much trouble that I've gotten in life is because of my tongue. Probably same thing for you. Most of the time when we get into trouble, our tongues were involved somehow. Something we said that we wished we wouldn't have said. And so when you're about to say something, think, should I say this or should I just, I can't say anything nice, so I better not say anything at all, right? Know when to speak and when to be silent. I look for the right word at the right time. There's a few proverbs that talk about that. It's just right, the idea of like, man, the right word at the right time can be so powerful. Proverbs 27:14 talks about the right word at the wrong time. We've talked about this one before. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. Right? What he has to say is good, right? He's blessing his neighbor, right? Is it the right time? No. So 5 o'clock tomorrow morning, don't come screaming to me and yelling, you know, blessed be your home, blessed be your family, Pastor Dave. No, none of that. Wait till at least 6 or 7, okay? Maybe even 8. Right? The right word at the wrong time is taken as cursing, right? And it's so hard. With this one, I think there's so much importance that we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because we might have, man, they really need to hear this. This is a good word. They need this. And I need to step back and say, is this the right time for it? Are they ready to hear it? Am I ready to say it in the right way? Have I left room for the Holy Spirit to work in me and to work in them? Is this the right time? Because I don't want the right words to turn into a curse. Proverbs 15:23 says to make an apt answer. And that means like appropriate answer. Like it's really the right thing to say. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man. And a word in season, how good it is. Right? Like I love that. A word in season. What it means is like we know what's coming next because seasons are pretty consistent, right? It's scorching hot right now, but we know in a few months it's going to turn into fall, right? It's a seasonal movement, right? You get watermelon in summer. I love watermelon, but I don't expect watermelon in the wintertime, right? And so what he's saying is there's this art, there's this craft, there's this person who really knows how to listen to God's voice and speak out what he wants to say through them. There's an art and a craft to it to say the right thing, that apt answer, but to do it at the right time, that it's in season. And when you do that, it's like a joy to them, right? That they want to hear it. It speaks life into them, and in season, how good it is, right? To bite down into a bite of watermelon in the middle of the summer heat, it's so refreshing because it's in season. Proverbs 25:11-12 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Okay? It talks about just this decorative, beautiful creation that someone can craft, okay? I'm not into beautiful, crafty things as much as I should be, but something I really appreciated when I got married was Heidi is really good at decorating, okay? If you look at me like, what should a living room I have? I'm like, well, maybe a couch. I don't know, maybe a beanbag chair or something, maybe a TV, a table or something. Heidi comes into a room and she is able to arrange things, put things on the wall and craft it, even like having a centerpiece on a table. Like you go into the room and you see this beautiful arrangement, it's just calming, right? And those who are good and crafty at those things, like that's a gift. And what God is saying is your words can be like that. It's like this beautiful arrangement that you can do with your words. And we know the feeling of that, right? Someone who speaks life into us, man, how do you make me feel so good? Like, you really told me truth. You weren't lying. You weren't hypocritical. You weren't doing it to manipulate me. You just gave me the right word at the right time, and it just brought joy to me. You can do that with your words. It can be like that apples of gold setting of silver, this beautiful decorative display. What I think that really means is thinking before you speak, right? So many times we just speak and regret. And so much of this comes down to just think before you speak. And what it means is before you speak, stop, pause, pray if you need to, and maybe ask a few questions. It's so important to think before you speak. Proverbs 17:27 says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." So the word restrains, like he holds it back, like he tries to keep it from coming out if it doesn't need to be said. So it's the completely opposite of a rash word, right? They don't just speak what's on their mind. They think through it. They restrain it. They hold back their words. Proverbs 13:3 says, "Whoever guards his mouth," right? Think about like in basketball or in soccer, like guarding somebody on defense. Like you're following their movement. You're trying to keep them from advancing past you. They guard their words because they don't want the wrong word to come out. They're like, man, that could be a word of death, and so I'm going to block it. I'm going to think before I speak. It says, "He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." Then Proverbs 15:28. So we're going through a bunch of Proverbs, and maybe you're not going to get them all this morning, but if there's one that, like, man, I really need this one, circle it, write it down, and memorize it. These Proverbs need to come back to us when we need them. In that moment when I'm about to say something, I can say, hey, I need to guard my mouth right now. I'm going to preserve my life. I'm not going to open it wide and come to ruin. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer." Well, they don't just answer. They think about it. They ponder it. They really mull over it. They're thoughtful in the response. But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Proverbs 16:23 says, "The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips." You know, by doing it in the right way, he makes himself more convincing. So now I'm about to speak. I just gave us a few different questions to ask, okay? Stop, pause. Is what I'm about to say true? Like, that's just the first thing. I don't want to lie. I don't want to deceive. And is it, like, fully true? Is it just half true? Is it manipulated truth, or is it really true? Proverbs 12:17 says, "Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit." So first, like, is it true? Is it true? And second, like, does it really need to be said? Like, you might have something true, but it shouldn't be said, right? And maybe it's something said in confidence, and you're going to spread this, and it's going to hurt them, right? Or maybe it's something that's true about them, but the only reason you want to say it is to hurt them. And you need to say, is it really necessary? It says, Proverbs 18:8 says, "A words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down to the inner parts of the body." When I think delicious morsels, I think of this awesome donut, right? Like, I have this awesome donut in my hand, and like, man, I want to give that to somebody, and they want to hear it. Like, that's what these words of a whisperer are like, but they shouldn't be spread. And me, like, I have this juicy gossip, right? And when I'm holding my hand, I just want to share it with somebody, and they want to hear it. Like, they're going to want to hear this. That's a word of death. You got to stop in the moment and just ask, like, is this necessary? Why am I saying it? Why do I want to spread this? Am I doing it to really harm them or to hurt them? Or do I really love them? And that's the next question I need to ask. Am I trying to build up or tear down with my words? Are they corrupt, spoiled, rotten words, or are they gracious? It says in Proverbs 22:11 that he who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend. Right? The person that's loving, kind, pure, and gracious, those are the kind of words that we want to share. In the New Testament, it gives us some good filters. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So I need to stop and say, like, is this going to build them up, or I just want to tear them down? If I'm just going to tear them down, I need to stop. No, this is a word of death. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So no matter what I have to say, is there a hint of grace in it? Is it flavored, seasoned with grace? Are these the right words at the right time? What we talked about, you know, the right word at the wrong time is still the wrong word, right? You might say, well, man, it was true. Yeah, but it was the wrong time. So the right word at the wrong time is still wrong. So are these the right words at the right time? Are my words loving to others and honoring to God? Proverbs 16:24 says, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Like they can be so loving when we share these sweet, kind words. They can be loving to others. They can be honoring to the Lord. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father through him. And a lot of times we use this verse talking about like what we do, like in your work, honor the Lord. But what it says, word or deed, right? Word. And so like a great question, like am I speaking Jesus? Like is this a word that's going to please Jesus? Is this a word that I would be proud of if he was here with me? Because guess what? He is. Like, is this really going to honor Jesus? Is it really going to honor the Lord? Is it something that's going to be done in the name of the Lord? And here's a big one, okay? This is a big lesson I've had to learn, is how will my tone affect my message? This is so big, because our tone is a big part of our message, right? You can say something, and depending on the tone, mean completely different things, right? And it's interesting, I saw this study. So there's this rule called the Moravian rule. So this guy, Albert Moravian, he was a professor of psychology at UCLA in 1967, came up with this conclusion based on all his studies. And so this is specifically for us expressing feelings and attitudes. So when I'm expressing my feelings and my attitudes towards you, it says this is the percentage of what's done each way. It says 55% is done through body language. So that's by far the biggest, is our body language. But then 38% is expressed through tone of voice, and only about 7% through their spoken words. Like our tone makes such a big difference. And sometimes we're so frustrated, and maybe you're someone who like you say, like, why does this person always take my words the wrong way, and they're mad at me and they blame me? I'm just saying something true. Well, maybe it's your tone. Like just for an example, like expressing feelings, I'm great, okay? I can say a bunch of different ways and express a bunch of different things, right? Like, I'm great. Are you? Right? I'm not really great, right? Or, oh, I'm great. Like, really sad, right? You can say, I'm great, but if you're just downcast in how you say it, or, I'm great? Kind of like a question mark, like, I don't know if I am or not. I don't know what's going on. Like, there's so much in our tone. Or, I am great. Or maybe like, I'm great. You could tell I'm faking, right? I'm just putting on a show. Like I'm saying the same word, and we do this all the time, right? We say something to our friend, and they get mad at it. And they're like, what did I say? Why are you so mad? It's not what you said, it's how you said it. And I love it because what this guy figured out in 1967 is something Scripture's been saying for thousands of years. Like this is true. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer. Well, it's not saying what it says, it's like how you say it. A soft answer turns away wrath. But a harsh word, it's how you say it. Say it harshly, a harsh word stirs up anger. So many times we throw gasoline onto a fire Not in necessarily what we say back to somebody, but that harsh tone that we say it. It just completely inflames the situation. Man, you say it soft way, you completely change the dynamic of the whole conversation. So notice the soft answer, the harsh tone of the word spoken in anger. Proverbs 15:4, just a few verses later, it says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Right? Isn't that awesome? This beautiful, life-giving tree, it compares the word that was gently spoken. But perverseness in it breaks the spirit. You can just completely break somebody down by saying that harsh, perverse word. So be soft, not harsh. Be gentle, not perverse. And then Proverbs 16:21 says, the wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Right? Like you say it with the right tone, it actually amplifies and helps your message. So how you've been speaking, how has your tone been affecting your message? When I'm about to speak, I need to stop and say, how is my tone going to affect my message? A couple more, Proverbs 25:15. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded. And listen to this. It says, a soft tongue will break a bone. Like a soft tone can be very powerful. We think like the louder you speak, the more powerful you are. The louder you yell, the more they'll hear your message. Sometimes the strongest word is spoken in the softest tone. It can break a bone. And then remember the Proverbs 31 woman, this amazing godly woman. It says in Proverbs 31:26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Right? You just listen to her. Whatever she has to say, it's wise. Whatever she has to say, it's kind. And so is there kindness on your tongue? Okay, we got to look at how we say it. And then the last thing I just need to ask is, what is in my heart? Because all this is external, right? We speak these external words, and they come from an internal source. And so the goal of this message isn't just to fix our speech, right? And so many times we just fix the externals, but we never get to the heart. It's kind of like that iceberg, right? What you see above the surface is just showing what is in the depths below. And our speech is often kind of like that barometer. It's showing what's going on in our hearts. And so I need to look at, okay, what's going on in my heart? I want to just yell and scream at this person. I want to lie. I just want to hurt them. What's going on in my heart? Or I want to just manipulate the situation because I really want something. What's going on in my heart that's coming out through my words? Way back in Proverbs 4:23, it said early on, keep your heart with all vigilance. Like, really protect it. Why? Because out of it, from it, flows the springs of life. Really, the idea is like everything we do and say flows out of our hearts. So don't just guard your words. Really address the heart behind those words. And maybe like you've been hurting a lot of people with your words. Maybe this is the week not just to focus on your words. Why have I been doing that? What's going on in my heart? Jesus reminded us in Luke 6:45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So yeah, deal with your words. Speak words of life, not death. But don't stop with your words. Get to the heart of those words. What's going on? What heart issue turned into a speech issue? How does my heart need to change so that my words will change? Remember Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruits. How are you going to use your words this week, today, even as we sing the last song? How are you going to speak life, not death? How are you going to use them to heal, not harm, for good, not for evil? It comes with choosing your words carefully. Before you speak, stop and ask those important questions. And as you speak, sometimes like, man, I don't know what to say. And we got to just lean on the Holy Spirit. Lord, I don't know if it's the right time. I don't know if this is the right thing to say to her. God, would you really speak through me? Or just shut my mouth if you don't want me to say anything at all. So much of it is us listening to him instead of just speaking what we want to say when we want to say it. So listen to him. Be sensitive to the Spirit. Yield to the Spirit. And then make that choice, that commitment. I'm only going to use my words for good, not for evil. I'll just close with this in Romans 6, and this isn't on there. I just thought of this. In Romans 6, he's just challenging us to use our bodies for good, not for evil. And he reminds us, we don't have to be slaves to evil anymore. But then in 6:12, it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. And a lot of times the way sin reigns in our mortal body is through what we say. It says, to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. So the reason I bring that up is he says there that our bodies, our mouths are all of our bodies, but specifically our mouths, what we're talking about today, can be instruments for righteousness or instruments for unrighteousness. And that word there that he uses in Romans 6 is the word for weapon. And I think that's so fitting is every day my mouth can be a weapon. A weapon for God or a weapon for Satan. And so who am I going to be? He says there I don't have to obey Satan anymore. I can use it for God. But I have to make that choice. Am I going to make it a weapon for God today or a weapon for Satan? And that's what James was alluding to in James 3:9, he says, with it, talk about our tongues, we bless our Lord and Father. We're about to sing a song of praise. We sing praise to God. And then he says, with that same tongue, it says, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things not ought to be so. We can praise God today. We can use them for weapons for good or weapons for evil. So let's just commit. Today I'm going to speak life, not death. Let's pray. God, our words are powerful, and today we just cry out to you with our words. Lord, I pray on behalf of my brothers and sisters here. Lord, we know great good can be done with our words and great harm. God, even this week we've hurt, we've stabbed, we've destroyed one another with our words. And so God, I just confess that my words have not been pure, perfect, holy, and righteous. God, forgive us for the words that Satan used for evil. Help us to make things right with those we've hurt with our words. And help us, because we can't do it on our own, but through your power we can speak words for good. So today I pray as we sing that our words would be honoring to you because they're coming from hearts that are honoring to you. And as we leave this place, that we would honor you with our words, we would love others with our words. Help us, God. We need you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.